Thank you for connecting to the media product of Pastor Brian Gallardo. We pray as it goes out into the nations that it empowers your faith, stirs your spirit, and pushes you towards your God-given destiny. For more information about Pastor Brian Gallardo, please log on to www.briangallardo.com.
Proverbs 22, verse 1, are y'all there tonight? A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Mm-hmm. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Aren't you glad we have a name we can call on tonight? Oh, yes. I need to dismiss all the discipleship crew. If you're going downstairs for discipleship, peace out. Bye, Felicia. We love you. Amen. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Aren't you glad we serve a God who has a great name? Great name. Look at your neighbor and say, what's his name? Amen. Honey, would you please lead us in prayer tonight for the reading of the word and for the message that's about to go out tonight?
Father, thank you so much for already being present in this house. God, thank you already for what you are already doing, that you're already ministering life, that you're already ministering hope, that you're already ministering victory, that you're already ministering your love. And I pray, God, that you would just overflow at LifeGate Church tonight, God. Lord, I pray that we would grab a hold of the word. We would grab a hold of the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. I thank you, at your name, demons have to flee. Yes. At your name, healing has to come. Jesus, at your name, victory has to come. So we plead your word tonight, God. We ask that you move, give us ears to hear, anoint pastor for the word tonight. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Before you're seated, reach over, love on somebody, and tell them there is power in that name. Hallelujah. We'd like to welcome our online campus. Hey, y'all, so glad you tuned in tonight. I pray the word that I give you encourages you and ministers life in the name of Jesus. You know, there's power found in a name. Y'all know that to be true. And names have different definitions when you attach things to that name. Names define someone or something. If you tell me Josh Pritchard is coming in the room, I know what his name brings when he comes in the room, right? And so I have been wanting, my wife and I, we've been talking the last year, throwing around the idea of getting another dog, and they're going to throw this picture up here in just a second, because I went and I picked out my new puppy. He's a golden doodle, and I think they got, did y'all get that back there? All right, and that's him right there. Isn't he cute? He's a golden doodle. He's half golden retriever and half poodle. And so I'm throwing around all these different names because I don't exactly know what to name him. At first I was thinking Ruger, and then we thought, you know, Bishop and Wally. I like the name Wally. And I'm trying to find a name that really fits the dog, that fits him, because he's going to be my dog. He's not going to be my wife's dog. He's not going to be Olivia's dog or Janae's dog. They can't touch him for a year. He's going to be my dog. But naming a dog is extremely important, what you name him, because I'm a firm believer at what you name something, that will give the identity of that person. And so my friend, his name is Pastor Creedle. He's from the Smoky Mountains of West Virginia. And he reached out to me. He goes, man, you need to name him something that means something. He said, if you want your dog to be strong, you should name him Samson. He said, if you want your dog to be super smart, like smarter than all the other dogs, you ought to name him Solomon. He said, if you want him to be a defender, go on and name him Ruger and et cetera, that thing. And so what he was really saying to me is you should be careful what you call your dog. A lot of people say, call him Chewy. Well, I don't want him chewing on stuff. You know, you call my dog Chewy, he's going to chew on my clothes. He's going to chew on my stuff. He's going to chew on Pastor Jillian's shoes. And her shoes are expensive. I don't want to have to replace them shoes. So I don't want to name him Chewy. It's important to me, the name that I put on him. The name, the identity I give him. What I place on him. Chop and Brittany, after they first got married, they were talking about their children they were going to have. And so Chop said, I've got some great names for my kids. I said, what are they, Chop? He said, well, if it's a girl, I'm going to name her Allie Gator Stancil. He said, if it's a boy, I'm going to name him Buck Knife Stancil. Thank God that God gave Chop a woman with some wisdom to say over my dead body. Because Brittany knew that names hold power and they hold Wait, from Genesis to Revelation in your Bible, we see folks that have names attached to them that God changed either because he wanted people to have a different perception of them or because of what their name literally meant. Jacob comes to mind. The Bible tells us that Jacob was born and he deceived his brother, took his birthright, and then deceived his daddy and allowed his daddy to bless him instead of his brother when the birthright really belonged to his brother. So Jacob's name, now if your name is Jacob, no condemnation to you. There's nothing wrong with your name. You are all good. There's two definitions of the word Jacob, but one of the names, one of the definitions of Jacob is supplanter, which means to dethrone somebody. And that's what Jacob kept doing. He dethroned his brother, he dethroned his daddy, deceived the whole situation, and got the birthright, right? So when God spoke to him, when he wrestled with Jacob, he told Jacob, your name will no longer be deceiver, but your name is now Israel, which means power with God, because God wanted to change the identity of Jacob. And so we see Saul, who is on the road to Damascus, and he gets knocked off of his horse, and he has an epiphany, and God changes him, and he gets radically saved. And God says, your name will be Saul no more. Your name will now be Paul. And the reason why he did that was because Saul is a Jewish name. And God was calling Paul to minister to the Gentiles. So for Paul to have a different identity as a person in the earth, to be able to reach other people, he tells Paul, your name is no longer Saul. You're no longer ministering just to Jews, but now you got to minister to all people. You must become all things to all people that you can win some of them. So God began to speak to us. We used to be called World of Truth Ministries, which makes absolutely no sense in today's culture. And God began to deal with me and says, you need to change the name to Life Gate Church. And this church is exactly that. We are a gateway to life. And so names define something. Names give stuff purpose. And I'm thankful that every name written of God in your Bible gives God a purpose, gives God identity, lets the earth know who he really is. From Genesis to Revelation, every name in the Bible points to God. Every name that God has in the Hebrew points to what he does, points to his deliverance, points to his salvation, points to his healing, points to his power, points to his resurrection. Every name of Jehovah Yahweh God defines and describes who he is. Look at your neighbor and say, you better say that name. So last week I went on the discourse of breaking the bread with you and showing you some of the names of God. Now in the Old Testament, I showed you last week that the Old Testament writers wrote in Hebrew, and when they translated from Hebrew to English, we lost a lot of the punch of what we actually read in the Bible that we hold today. In the New Testament, it was originally written in Greek, and when they translated it from Greek to English, it lost a lot of the depth and the meaning. And you say, well, Pastor, why is that important to me? Because if you go back word for word and understand the Hebrew and the Greek, there's such revelation of who God is and what he did to change your life, to save you and become your propitiation. If you go back and literally read it verse for verse and dig through the Hebrew and dig through the Greek and get the definitions of the word, it's like light bulbs come on. It's like you, let me give you an example. When Jesus was on the cross, the Bible said he said it is finished, and he gave up the ghost. He dropped his head and died. That word ghost in one of the gospels in the Greek was not like his spirit died. It's the word pneuma. It's the same word found in Acts chapter number 2 when the Holy Ghost descended upon them and they were filled with power. Here's what it means. When Jesus let out his spirit, he also let the Holy Ghost loose in the earth. That's why your Bible said the veil of the curtain was rent in two from top to bottom. Now you and I have access to pneuma. You can be filled with pneuma. You can get the Holy Ghost down it. And you shall receive power when pneuma comes upon you. Come on, somebody. When Jesus' death gave us access to the Holy Ghost. Woo! So one word. One word translated can change your life. The Holy Spirit comes and he illuminates things. He reveals things, illumination, inspiration, and revelation. You get those things by going in. You can't just read the Bible. Pastor Parsley always says it. You can't just read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. You got to dig down in that thing until you find some gold nuggets down underneath the surface. You say, Pastor, that never happens to me. Read it again. I did. It never happens to me. Read it again. It never happens. Read it again. It never happens. Read it again. It never happens to me. Read it again. It never happens to me. Did you see that right there? It's progressive revelation. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth. It's a continuum. It's cyclical. He's always speaking. Genesis through Revelation ain't all he said. He's speaking to you right now, trying to awaken you with a hunger to get in the Word and read and dig and read and dig and read. I'm tired of being bound. Get in the Word. I'm tired of not being delivered. Get in the Word. I'm tired of being sick. Get in the Word. I'm tired of being depressed. Get in the Word. I'm tired of my praise not working. Get in the Word. All right, so in the Old Testament, our precious Jewish brothers and sisters had all these different Hebrew names for God. So like when you read the Bible and it says the Lord was with Solomon, you got to look up that word Lord to understand which Lord he's referring to, right? God was with Abraham. Well, which definition of God is that in there? Say, Pastor, how do I do that? I'm so glad that you asked. I have on my phone, and you can get it on yours, it's called a Strong's Concordance. It word for word is in blue. You can just click on it, and it'll show you the actual Hebrew word and its definition. It's amazing what praising will do. I mean, if you just click on that word, it's like a little finger praise on that iPhone. And when you click on the word, the actual definition of that word starts to open up to you. And you'll start reading just what one little word means will blow your mind. And you'll start running around the car on the way back from a little getaway with your wife because you're so excited what Jesus is showing you in the car out by Columbia on the way home on a Wednesday. I said, babe, you got it. All right, so last week I taught about a few of them. I spoke about Elohim. Let's all say that together, Elohim. And it means God is the Almighty One. In other words, He has all power over everything. It means that He is mightier than sickness, mightier than cancer, mightier than addiction, mightier than perversion. God is the Almighty One. He's mightier than abuse. He's mightier than pain. He's mightier than suicide. He's mightier than the devil. It's a little devil and a mighty, mighty God. He is Almighty. He's Elohim. So in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, Elohim created. What kind of God can fling the stars into their sockets and clothe the valleys as a green carpenter clothes a concrete slab? What kind of a God? An Elohim, mighty God. Woo! Secondly, we talked about He is El Elyon. He is the Most High God. Not only is He Almighty, He is Almighty against it. Not only is He a mighty God against cancer, He is one who is more powerful and over cancer. Not only is He a God who is stronger than addiction, He is a God who's over addiction. He is a God of deliverance and not only is He a God that can speak over death, He is a God that 3 days later said, I am He who is resurrected and is alive forevermore. I am over it because I'm Elohim, El Elyon, the God Most High. Somebody ought to give El Elyon some praise tonight. Aren't you glad He was over your issue? Aren't you glad He was higher than your problem, higher than your addiction, higher than your depression? Aren't you glad for El? Yeah, I feel like preaching tonight, Rob. Jesus. Number three, the third type of definition that the precious Jews could come up with was Jehovah Elohim, which means He is the covenant keeping God. Now, this is one of my favorite names to call upon. You know why? Every promise that God has penned in the book, he can't break it. Every promise that he promised you and me, he can't come against it. He is the covenant-keeping God. If he says you are blessed coming in and blessed going out, as long as you obey my statutes, the devil can't stop it. Them crazy family members can't stop it. Your doctor can't stop it. If you're in relationship with him and walking in obedience to him, his covenant will make sure that you are blessed coming in, you blessed going out. You the head, not the tail. You, if his covenant said it, he can't break it, because he is a covenant-keeping God. That's God, Jehovah Elohim. If you're thankful for Jehovah Elohim, I double dog dare you to stand up on your feet and give him some praise. Yeah, yeah. Yes, Jesus. Number four. Here's a new one for you tonight. Number four. He is Adonai. He is Adonai. He is Lord and he is master. He is Lord and he is master. This is mentioned 434 times in the Old Testament. We see it played out in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 2. And Abraham said, Adonai God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? What Abraham was saying, God, you just promised me children, but my wife is barren. We are becoming old. You promised me a legacy, but Adonai, Lord and Master, what will you give me? You see, my friend, God promised Abraham the generations and the blessings to come, but Abraham said, how can this be, because I don't have what I need to produce a child? How can this be when there is no way? How can this be when it is in an impossible situation? How can this be when it doesn't look like it can happen? It doesn't look like it will happen. Every door that you say you're going to open, God slams in my face, and he looks back at your situation and he says, let me tell you how it's going to happen, because I am Adonai. I am Lord and I am Master. I am the master of everything. I am in control of the hardship. I am in control of the storm. He is Adonai, Lord. He's the God of all possibilities. He's the God of turnaround. He makes dead things to live again. He makes blinded eyes to see again. He makes deaf ears to hear again. He's the God of the healing. He's the God of the mending. He's the God who knows what we do not. He is the master of the storm. He is the master of the wind. If you're facing impossibilities, answer is Adonai. If you're facing sickness in your body, your answer is Adonai. If you're struggling in your faith, your answer is Adonai, Master. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. If you're struggling tonight, I dare you to stand up on your feet. I dare you to slip up your hands. Master of the situation, come take over tonight. Come on, say his name, Adonai. Adonai. Thank you, Adonai. Number five. He is Yahweh. Woo. The Jewish, precious Jewish brothers and sisters say Yahweh, our Jehovah, Jehovah God. He is absolute ruler. It's used more than any other name for God in the entire Bible. As a matter of fact, over 6,500 times. Whenever you see in the Old Testament, when it says God is Lord, L capital, O capital, R capital, D capital, it's speaking of Yahweh, Jehovah, absolute ruler. Exodus 27 says, thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh in vain. Yahweh, Lord, absolute. Now, a lot of people have a misunderstanding of what that scripture means. They think taking the name of the Lord in vain only means that you don't curse his name, but it's way, way deeper than that. That's not what taking his name means in vain just alone. The Hebrew children were so sacred about the name Yahweh, they wouldn't pin it on a piece of paper. They wouldn't mention it with their own mouth because they were so afraid that somebody would desecrate and dishonor Jehovah God, and they didn't want to desecrate His name. They didn't want to dishonor His name. Honey, we're living in a different world today. We're living in a world where it's hard to get Christians to praise because they dishonor His name. It's hard to get Christians to worship because they dishonor His name. But I'm here to tell you tonight, we serve Yahweh around here. He is a name that's above every name. He is God. He is Jehovah. He is Yahweh. Help us, Holy Ghost, to use His name. Man, I feel the Holy Spirit like pushing in this room. Some of you about to give spiritual birth to something you didn't know was inside of you tonight. I hear Him. I hear you, Holy Ghost. He's saying, push what's on the inside of you right now. He's about to deposit something in your spirit. Birthing is taking place tonight. Do it, Jesus. I looked up this in some theology books about what it means to use the name Yahweh in vain. And it gave me three different definitions. Number one, it means to treat God without honor or reverence. It means when you come into a house where God tabernacles and we're worshiping Him together corporately, and you sit down because and don't say anything in your act of non-worship, what you're literally doing is you're literally taking His name as an unsacred thing. But we don't do that around here. We honor God around here. We honor God above humanity. Come on, it's one of our core values. We honor God above our feelings. We honor God above how we feel. He is Yahweh, and He will not be taken in vain. Come on, somebody. The second thing, this right here is gonna help somebody. The second way you can use the name of Yahweh in vain is to bring dishonor to His character. I started thinking about this, and a lot of times you hear people say, well, they start complaining about God. Well, I'm sick, why won't He heal me? I'm bound, why won't He free me? I'm tired, why won't He wake me up and give me energy? What you're literally saying is God can't do it. And that's bringing dishonor to His name. Here's the third one. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Spirit. Because I don't know. They know. I don't know if they're ready, Jesus. These are Your people, God. The third way you can use His name in vain is to be an oath breaker. I serve God on Sunday, but on Monday, I live worldly. You an oath breaker. I say the prayer after the preacher on Sunday, but I drink it up, sex it up, live it up outside these four walls. You're an oath breaker. You carry His name only by name, but not by lifestyle. Oath breaker. Using His name. Many shall say to me on that day, Lord, 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 Lord. Did we not do churchy things in Your name? Then He says to them plainly, depart from me, you who continue to work evil in your life. I never knew you. In other words, you use my name as a club access membership card. But you did not serve me, you oath breaker. Woo! He is Jehovah, Yahweh. Absolute ruler of heaven and earth. Now I got to fix your silly theology. He's not in control of everything. He's not in control of your silly decisions you make. He's not in control of your poor relational skills. He ain't in control of that. He ain't in control of your jacked up social thinking. He ain't in control of that. He's only in control of what you let Him be control over, but he's in control over the seas. He's in control of the mountaintops. He's in control of the animals in the field. He's in control of the crops at harvest time. He is absolute ruler of creation. He is Yahweh. Can we just stand on our feet and show God some reverence tonight? Everyone in the room, come on. We love You, Jesus. Come on, out of your own mouth, just love on Him. We're so self-indulged in our culture. We wanted to push pause just to tell You we love You, Yahweh. You are Jehovah, absolute ruler. and we praise you. Come on, out of your mouth, just begin to praise him just for a minute. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, God. Come on, we love you, Jesus. God, I'm so honored to be called your son. God, my earthly dad walked out on me, but I'm honored that you adopted me and called me your baby. You are such a good, good father, and I love you tonight. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Number six. Oh, Jesus, help me tonight. Number six, he is God El Shaddai. I saved this one for my last point because you all about to go crazy in a minute. He is God El Shaddai. El Shaddai means he's the all-sufficient God. How many has lack in your life tonight? Come on, be honest. See, why are you raising your hand, Pastor? Because I have $220,000 of lack and another $500,000 coming down the pipeline in lack. But he is El Shaddai. He is all-sufficient one. He is the God who is the God of more than what you need. Now hold on, because some of you are like, well, why isn't it working for me? He will work it for you conditionally. If you're not a tither, if you a mismanager, don't blame it on God not being El Shaddai. Boy, it just fell flat in this room all of a sudden. Praise the Lord. I'm going to take a sip of this agua that Most High gave to me, Yahweh. El Shaddai is a rare occurrence in your Bible. It's only mentioned 7 times in Scripture. Genesis 17:1, Abraham was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. Walk before me faithful and blameless. Abraham was 99 years old. His wife was 89 years old. And he's like questioning God, like, you told me I'd have a son, God. I don't understand what's going on. And he said, I'm about to show you because I'm El Shaddai. He gave him some spiritual Viagra. Reached his hand down in his creation. Worked on Sarah's ovaries. Why y'all looking at me funny? And said, I am who you just learned about, Jehovah Most High. I am the God who can do anything. I'm the ruler. I am in the beginning. Elohim created the... If I can create the heavens and the earth, I can create some eggs up in these fallopian tubes that come out. I am God. If you're 90 years old, you should shout on that right now. You should put an offering on the altar. Praise the Lord. Abraham's faith was low. And God says to him, hey, Abraham, I know you're 99. I know you're getting up there in age, son. I know your wife's 89. I know what it looks like. It's not going to happen. I know it looks like you don't have what you need. Some of you in this room tonight, it looks like you don't have what you need. It looks like you're at the end of your rope. It looks like what you thought God was going to do ain't happening. It looks like, why is my bank account in the red when I know I'm supposed to be blessed? It looks like, why am I working for $15 an hour when I'm supposed to be a business owner? I know what it looks like right now, but I'm here to encourage your faith to let you know on tonight, we serve El Shaddai, the God who is all sufficient. I looked up, I did a real deep study of El Shaddai. El Shaddai comes from a Hebrew word, Shad, S-H-A-D. And it means a nursing mother's breast. I laughed after I read it. I thought, that's kind of a funny way to get El Shaddai, God. What are you trying to show me? As I continued to read about the Hebrew culture, they were saying that God is likened to a mama who is nursing her baby. It is likening God to a mama who's protecting a baby that she's nursing. Now, when my wife and I walked into that dog kennel yesterday, we saw all these beautiful poodles and big old royal poodles and German shepherds and golden retrievers and golden doodles and doodle poodles and oodles and noodles and all kinds of stuff. And they said, that mama down there in that cage, she just has some babies on Friday night. I said, well, I want to see them. We started walking down by that kennel, and the guy said, now, you need to be very careful, because I don't know what that mama's going to do, because she's still nursing them puppies. And immediately the Holy Ghost started speaking to me. He said, El Shaddai, Shad, El Shaddai, Shad, like a mama going to protect her babies is what El Shaddai does to his babies when the devil's trying to creep up in your house. I don't know who this message is for tonight, but some of you all need to warn the devil. You better not get too close to me. I'm his baby. And if you, I don't know what he's going to do. If you mess with my family, if you mess with my marriage, if you mess with my mind, El Shaddai going to take care. El Shaddai going to take care of me like a mama nursing her baby. He is God. Grab your Bibles. Come on, grab your Bibles. Grab your Bibles. Turn over here to Psalm 91. Everything we need, God has it. I got a text today. This is what I wanted to tell you. I got a text today. You can sit down, because you're going to be standing the rest of the time if you do that. I got a bid for our flooring in the basement for the administrative wing, and it was over a couple $1,000. It was $4,000 and stuff. $4,000. And I kind of scratched my head a little bit, and I thought, well, Jesus, here we go. I guess I'm the carpenter, the drywaller, and now about to be the floor layer, because I'm paying somebody to do what I know I can do. I just don't have the time to do it. And so I got a text today, Seth, from Bishop George Westlake at Sheffield Church. And he said to me, I thought El Shaddai was texting me for a minute. I was like, El Shaddai, El Shaddai. He said, hey, man, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm preparing for church tonight. I get to preach. Unfortunately, sorry to tell you, this is the best church in Kansas City. And he said, you're on my mind, man. He goes, I see that you got a building project going on, and you guys got this new building. And he said, what can we do for you? And I said, I sent him back up, emoji. And I said, man, you might be opening a can of worms, man. I said, we got projects around here for days. Like, what are you asking me? He said, well, I got $3,000 for you. What do you need done? I said, thank you, El Shaddai. You are the God who is more than enough. Yeah, yeah. What would possess another local pastor to sow into another church $3,000 for flooring? Let me tell you, because El Shaddai was working in his heart, working in his soul, and he said, I got to obey the Holy Ghost. Can we just give God praise tonight? Woo! All right, watch this, watch, Jesus! You don't think God's looking out for us? You don't think God's going to look out for you in your house? You don't think El Shaddai's going to make up where there's lack? You don't think God, El Shaddai, is going to make food to be put on the table, put gasoline in your car, make ends meet, make money appear out of nowhere? Honey, he's El Shaddai. Woo! Yes, he is. Look at this, Psalm 91. This is my favorite chapter in the entire Bible. Psalm 91. Keep playing, Rob. You help me sound way better. Whoever dwells in the shelter, relationship of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. See, Satan's after your rest. Hardest things for Christians to do is get rest. I'm not talking about sleep. I'm talking about chilling. Some of y'all need to chill. You're all wound up. You're all bound up. You're full of anxiety. You got to get some rest and take two gospels, drink some living water, and chill. What if it doesn't happen? What if I don't make it? What if I'm going to die of cancer in 5 years? What if I'm never going to retire? What's going to happen? What if you walk out blessed? Rest. dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of El Shaddai. Mama taking care of her babies. Now God's not a mama. He's a big, big papa. He likes it when I call him Big Papa. I'm like, Daddy! Daddy God! I'm your baby and I need you right now. He starts grinning at me. I love you, son. You're so excited. Watch this. So he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow. Listen. Verse 1 is where you abide. Who? With who? El Shaddai. From verse 2 all the way down to 16 are the blessings attached to walking in relationship with God. Watch. I will get to say then of the Lord, you're my refuge, you're my fortress, my God in whom I trust. My God, Elohim. I will say of the Lord. Y'all see that Lord? It's all capitalized in your Bible. Y'all see that capital L, capital O? That's Yahweh. Surely he will save me from the fowler snare of that old devil and from deadly pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. Just kind of sound like a big old mama bird holding up her babies up underneath her wings, don't it? El Shaddai. Verse 5, you will not fear the devil who terrors you by night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at noonday. Listen, when you're in the shadow of the Almighty, listen what happens. 1,000 may fall at your side. 10,000 at your right side, but it ain't coming near you. You will only observe it with your eyes. Come on, Jesus. And you'll see the punishment of the wicked. If you say the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah Yahweh is my refuge. And you make the Most High, El Elyon, your dwelling. No harm will overtake you. No harm. Y'all hear me? No harm will overtake you. May go through hell, may go through trial, may go through tragedy, may not make no sense. Doctor may give you a bad report, but it ain't going to harm you. You'll still be standing in the courts of his God, praising Yahweh, El Elyon, Jehovah God. Lord, I know I'm going through all this, but no harm's going to come to me because you are El Shaddai, God Almighty. You are Daddy. Come on, Jesus. I like this next part. Watch. He will command his angels to keep charge over you. I got lost here. Where am I at? Oh, verse 12. They will lift you up in their hands. You will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra and trample the great lion. This is talking about demons, demonic principalities. You're going to tread on them, kick them in the teeth, punch them in the head, kick them out your house. Why? Watch. Because you personally love God and you say, says Jehovah, I will rescue you. I will protect you. For he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him and I will be with him in times of trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him. Listen, some of y'all need to take that one phrase of your Bible, with long life. You should look at your neighbor and say, you ain't getting rid of me. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Who is this in reference to? Verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. It's those who chase after Papa, Almighty God. Now you understand Jesus who said, seek ye first King, El Elyon, Elohim, Jehovah God. Come on, somebody. Seek him first in his way of doing things. then verse number 2 through 16 will be added unto you. Come on, stand to your feet tonight.